The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Hi, good day, my dear audience. Sigh, I really don't have to tell you this, but we are living in a time of immense global problems around the world. There's such outbreaks of war, economics, biological, ecological challenges, which reverberate into not knowing where to go. There's confusion, chaos, and this causes in business and in personal life societal and business discord, making competition extremely difficult without the proper strategy. Well, today, my two honored guests will translate from the famed warrior, illustrious yet mysterious Sun Tzu, into clear, concise strategy for winning and empowerment for success. And at this point, I'd like to introduce you to Mark McNeely and Becky Sheets. Now, let me tell you just a few. I couldn't go on because the whole show would be over if I gave you the bio. But just real quickly, let me explain. Mark, he has written two books on Sun Tzu's Art of War, Sun Tzu and the Art of Business, so Strategic Principles for Management, and Sun Tzu and the Art of Modern Warfare. Mark has presented to thousands, endless, between U.S., Europe, and Asia, including 3M, IBM, the United States Air Force Command, and Staff College. There's so much more. Welcome. At the end of the show, I'll give you the links to go to their webpage and their bio. And then my other guest, Miss Becky Sheets. Well, I can't even. Becky, you're going to have to explain all your master's in the art of martial art, but you also have written a book which is so famous, fabulous for women, and it's Sun Tzu for Women, The Art of War for Winning in Business, and of the newly released The Art of War for Small Business. And like I said, you have years and years of martial art experience, and you also named 2011 the Washington Business Journal 40 Under 40. Like I said, their vitae, their bio goes on and on. So at the end, definitely take the time and listen to them. So I'd like to introduce Mark and Becky. Hey, Mark and Becky.
Hey there.
Good afternoon.
Hi. So I don't know if a lot of people are familiar who even Sun Tzu is. Who would like to jump in? And I know he has kind of a questionable background, but I'm ready to hear what y'all have.
Okay. Sun Tzu was an ancient Chinese general. He lived during a time a lot like today, as you mentioned. It was a time of tremendous change and competition in China. It was called the Age of the Warring States. And this was a time of great conflict and uncertainty as these seven states fought for survival and control of China. And they wanted to get any kind of advantage they could over their opponents. And strategy and leadership was one of the ones they used to do so. And so like businesses today, they hired strategy consultants to help them win, and Sun Tzu was actually one of those strategists. And based on his experience in warfare during the Age of the Warring States, he wrote his classic book on strategy, The Art of War. Just one note on the pronunciation of his name. Americans tend to pronounce it as Sun Tzu because that's how it looks to us. The Chinese pronounce it Sun Tzu, But since most English speakers pronounce it and identify it as Sun Tzu, we use that pronunciation.
Oh my goodness, I've been calling my cat the wrong name all this
you're
time.
Fine. You're fine. We use
Sun Tzu all the time. So that's the way we pronounce it. I just wanted to make that note for anyone that was a Sinophile.
Well, thank you for that. Well, Mark, I also understand that you served as a reserve officer, like the highest ranked captain in the U.S. Army National Guard. Now, I also understand that in a lot of the military schools, is it a required reading, or is it just Sun Tzu is the manual the required reading, or is that how you got interested?
Well, I really got interested in Sun Tzu at a very young age. It started when I read military history when I was pretty young, and I was fascinated by the importance of strategy in determining how battles and ultimately wars were won. And so I read as much about warfare as I could, and that was the time when I actually learned about Sun Tzu's Art of War. And then after reading it and comparing it, his approach to strategy versus other ones that generals have used, it really became clear to me how insightful the Art of War was. And then also how much they currently applied it to modern strategy and warfare. And then later I learned that they could really be applied to any competitive situation, whether it was warfare, business, sports, and politics. And when I got into business, that's when I saw the many similarities and saw that his principles could be applied to business. And that's when I wrote my first book, Sun Tzu and the Art of Business, to try and make his concepts really easy to understand, clearly applicable to business, and interesting to learn about.
Wow. And Becky, I mean, to take the same principles and formulate it for women, how did you come to that?
So my interest with Sun Tzu started, I've studied martial arts most of my life, started relatively young, and, you know, people get into martial arts and get out of it and train for different reasons. You know, people want fitness or camaraderie or whatever the case may be. I was always really committed and really motivated by self-defense. It was always about self-defense for me. It was always about, you know, how can you survive, live another day against really difficult challenges, you know. And I was always the smallest person in the class. I was always the weakest person in the class, and it was just the way it was. So I spent many years in a martial art that was very much force on force. It was very much, you know, the bad guy comes in or the opponent comes in and he punches or he kicks with all of his force, and then you stop that using all of your force, and then you again apply force. So it comes down to who's stronger. More times than often, it comes down to who's stronger. So after, you know, quite many years of doing that and continuously finding myself, you know, on my behind, because no matter how hard I trained, no matter how motivated I was to get better, I wasn't able to defeat someone far less skilled but stronger, or bigger, or both. So I found a martial art, jiu-jitsu is a martial art that I found, and it's Japanese jiu-jitsu as opposed to the Brazilian jiu-jitsu that's so popular today. Mm. And that the premise of that is very much in line with Sun Tzu, and that's the idea of not taking an adversary's force head on, but to you know, flow like water, to move around the force, to out-strategize the force, to use the adversary's weight, force, strength, whatever his attributes are, use those against him. So that's where I became really fascinated with Sun Tzu. And then the opportunity came my way when an agent who I was working with said, hey, you know, there's this concept here, Sun Tzu for women, what do you think? I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And then when I started to really apply the Art of War for women, which I really had not read it through that lens, and that's what's really kind of cool. You know, Mark's interpreting it as he's written it for businesses. I'm interpreting it as I've written it for women, and also with a martial arts slant, and now having written this most recent book, The Art of War for Small Business, you can interpret it for small business. Well, obviously, you can interpret it for war, and you can interpret it for athletics, as Mark mentioned. So you can read The Art of War through many, many different lenses. The real challenge that people have is how do we apply it to our business, our career, our whatever? And that's what I think Mark and I do through our writing, our speaking, our training, is make it eminently applicable.
Well, you know, it gets me that I can't really decipher. He says the goal of strategy is to win all without fighting.
Yes.
So Well, where does that leave somebody? I mean, like when they're trying to strategize.
Well, the better strategy versus direct conflict is an indirect conflict. An indirect conflict, and Mark, you'll probably have some real-world examples of this. An indirect, out-strategizing someone means you may never have to battle with them at all, because you form alliances with folks who they would be better off allying with, but you've outthought them. So to be able to do business in such a way that you outflank the adversary instead of having to use the same amount of resources as your opponent, or even a bigger opponent who's got a heck of a lot more resources. So a small business in particular has to bring to bear what they have in a much, much more intelligent way, and that often will mean not fighting or not fighting head on.
Now, Mark, between a small business and a large business, I mean, there's got to be somebody in charge, correct, to play out the strategic role. And sometimes in a small business, you might see family relationship, which they could be in a conflict within the organization itself. So how would you advise a small business person as opposed to a large corporation that's trying to implement the strategy?
Well, first I would tell them to buy Becky's book.
Small
business. But I think one of the key things about Sun Tzu, the point I'd like to make, is it's really applicable in any competitive situation. So it can be used by small businesses, especially small businesses because they're weaker than other, you know, a lot of the opponents they face. Can also be used by larger companies because the indirect approach, as Becky mentioned, rather than taking on strength with strength, you find the weaknesses in the opponent, and that allows you to use your strengths against them. And essentially, you're going to use less resources to be successful, and by using less resources, you're going to be more profitable. Now, within a company, though, when you're in a cooperative setting, such as a family business, or even within a larger business, when you're working together, I would advise against using any of the competitive strategies, since you should really only use those against an opponent you wish to defeat, not a partner that you got to work with and collaborate with.
You know what I wonder? If you have two separate businesses, competitive businesses, and they've all both using the same identical strategy, how would they go? I mean, where's the offense defense coming in if y'all using the same strategies?
I don't think that any two people, and Mark, tell me if you agree, I don't think any two people would read The Art of War and apply it the same way. There are so many layers, there's so much depth, there's so much complexity, and, by the way, simplicity to The Art of War that, it's not a guidebook that says on Tuesday do this, on Wednesday do this, on Thursday do this, right? I mean, it's very much in not just how you read it, but in how you apply it. So there's so many layers to that proverbial onion that you could never stop out-strategizing an adversary by applying Sun Tzu. So it would come down to who applies their resources in the best ways, who uses his principles most effectively, not who uses his principles, but who uses them most effectively and most consistently. That's the thing with businesses, and it really with small businesses, is it is so easy to fall away from the basics, you know, the fundamentals of how we do business, how we're competitive, how we care for our customers, how we care for our employees, and we just kind of go through the motions. And once you start doing that and you start losing track of those fundamentals that are quite strategic, there's room for somebody else to swoop in and take your client base away, take your employee base away, et cetera. And that's the real hope for small businesses, too.
Well, thank you, Becky. We're getting ready to go to break, Becky and Mark, and we'll be back shortly. And when we come back, I'd like to know some of those six principles if you could share with the audience. Thanks. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier, especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back. I'm with my guests, Mark McNeely and Becky Sheets. And they have written some books where they translated Sun Tzu, Art of War, into the strategic components, into small business for women, and for managerial and companies, corporations. So for Mark, I have a question for you, is that Sun Tzu has 6 strategic principles for managers. Could you share some with our listeners, or the most, whatever you feel like that somebody that could garner the most as a manager?
Sure. In the book, it's actually written in 13 chapters, and some of them apply to warfare in ancient China. So what I did is I took the quotations that I thought made the most sense for business and essentially cut them out of a book and then grouped them, and that's where the 6 principles came from. So through reading his book, through a business lens, I was able to identify 6 strategic principles for managers. So I'll give you a couple of them. One is capture your market without destroying it. Here's a quotation: to win 100 victories in 100 battles is not the acme of skill. To subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. And his point there is you don't want to be like the airline industry and essentially destroy the industry and the profits in the industry by fighting one another. You want to find a way to innovate and create a more profitable industry, for example, like Google or Facebook have done. Another one that Becky talked about is along the same lines as avoiding your competitor's strength and attacking their weakness. That, again, from the Western world, we tend to go strength against strength, and instead of finding the weakness is a much more profitable means of achieving your end. And a lot of that comes from the indirect approach. An example I like to use is if you were in the United States and you wanted to go to China, the most direct route would be going through the center of the earth. But, of course, because of the resistance, you wouldn't do that. You go around the earth, and that's the indirect approach. And because you face less resistance, you're able to successfully and profitably and quickly achieve your objective and get to where you want to be. And it's the same kind of idea of the indirect approach in business as well. And then one of the last principles I'll talk about is the 6th principle, developing your character as a leader to maximize the potential of your employees. And that's really about how do you lead by an example. And as a leader, Sun Tzu talks a lot about the need to lead by example, the qualities that a leader needs, and taking care of your people. So even back in ancient days, this was very important. And so these are some of the 6 principles, and a lot of them apply to large business. And I'm sure Becky can talk to you about how some of the principles and the ideas of Sun Tzu apply to small business.
So, Mark, you would say Sun Tzu would not approve or condone leadership leading from behind.
Yes, probably. Yes, probably he wouldn't. He wouldn't condone leading from behind. I mean, it's really he's got the viewpoint. I mean, his whole idea is how do you set up the situation such that you cannot be defeated, and how do you set up the preconditions and essentially what's called shaping the battlefield through alliances, through strategic control points, such that victory is assured. Now, on the flip side, he also says there are some battles that you are better off not to fight as well. So you need to recognize those and then go back and find another way to achieve your objective versus fighting that battle at that time.
And something that you mentioned too is like when you start to enter, do not go into war unless you expect victory.
Exactly.
So Becky, how those great little things from Mark, I mean those are so important when you break it down. How does that translate into small businesses?
You know, I think in a lot of respects, the strategies are similar. I mean, and here's why. Sun Tzu was written, The Art of War was written by Sun Tzu following the Warring States period, and his state was the smallest state in China at the time, and he made it the dominant force. So he was writing very much about his real, you know, honest-to-goodness battlefield experiences taking down a much larger adversary. So when you think about it in that respect, the strategies that Mark has just laid out and the six principles which he presents on are just as effective for small businesses because they were written for, not that they can't be also applied to by large businesses, they certainly can and they should and they are, but they were written for that smaller audience and how they could not fight with adversaries who were the same size or smaller, you know, to stomp on the little guy, but no, not at all, but how they could overtake much larger adversaries, much stronger and much more resource-rich.
And it seems like timing and speed, you know, being able to go in there, not to, you know, rest on your laurels. If you're going to make a decision, you just go ahead. And I love that one because people tend to procrastinate, say, oh, well, this company might not be, you know, fall short of this quarter, whatever. So how does that relate in a perspective? Yeah. I mean, I could see that even being important in your personal life also.
Sure, sure. And you're absolutely right. And when I in The Art of War for Small Business, I've examined the various attributes that small businesses tend to have vis-a-vis larger competitors, and as well as the liabilities, the shortfalls that small businesses tend to have. But you're absolutely right. The ability, the agility, the ability to move quickly, the ability to build consensus within a small team and just move and adapt is much, much, much greater among these smaller businesses, which are obviously, by their very nature, much more innovative. You know, big businesses, they're risk averse because taking risk, you know, you can win, you can lose. It can be very costly for a large business to even take a risk that a small business is much more likely to take because it can be a make or break, and in many times it can be a make opportunity. So they'll take the risk that the larger firms will not. So that's where there's real opportunity. But you're right, you've got to move. You've got to make the decision and move very quickly.
Well, that reminds me of your chapter about Joy Convoys, about the innovation at Amazon.
Right.
I mean, that was like a tremendous, I mean, she yeah. made, it was swift, she made a move. Would you like to, you know, just give the, I mean, everybody does Amazon. They're talking
right.
about getting drones now, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an example, and you know, Mark mentioned, you know, Google and I think Yahoo too, which is a little different story now than it used to be. But that's in the DNA of those organizations. It's a culture of innovation. So if you've got a small business or a large business, and you've developed this culture of innovation, which is in line with Sun Tzu's principles, which is in line of outthinking, outstrategizing your adversary, versus, you know, I think it really what it comes down to. One of the epiphanies that I had when I was writing The Art of War for Small Business, again, the second take on Sun Tzu, was I have completely lost my train of thought. Here it is. I got it back. Okay. The idea that you can't just, you know, like you said, sit on your laurels. Small businesses will not be effective if we just hunker down and say we're going to wait for the economy to get better. We're going to wait for this. We're going to wait for that. And the art of war is very, very much, it is not a book on defensive strategy. If you want to read the art of war to hold ground or to learn to be defensive, you better get a different book because you're not going to find it in the art of war. It is really all about how to gain ground. How to own a larger territory, how to expand. So that for small businesses and the small business listeners who are on the phone here today or who are listening in, I hope they understand that if you are not fighting to expand your territory, to grow your business, to overtake your competitors, then you are de facto, by default, you are going to be losing ground.
And Mark, in your book, you have something talking about attacking psychological weaknesses. Well, you have a corporation, you know, it's body, but I mean, what kind of psychology does a corporation have? How would you go about determining and analyzing that?
Well, it really comes down, just like any organization is actually run by individuals, so it's really important to understand the psyche and the background of the people that lead that company. Colin Powell, when he was the head of NATO, he had a picture of his opposing Soviet general on his desk, and he had a dossier that had all the information about that general and understood how that general thought and was able to project of how that enemy, that opponent, might fight the next battle. And so that's really the same thing you want to do, is have a good understanding of how the opponents view the competitive battlefield, so you can get essentially inside their heads and understand where they might respond to your actions. And that's really where, you know, we talk about moving with speed, and being able to move with speed is important, but to be able to do that, you've got to have a good understanding and outline of what your strategy is. And you should also do a lot of preparation in terms of wargaming strategies. A lot of times businesses will enact a strategy and not really even think about, well, what will the opponents do, right? So you need to instead wargame what might happen. Like, if I do strategy A, this might be what the competitor would do, and then here's what I might do in response, and then here's some other competitive responses, and kind of play that out three or four or five orders of effect out there, so you can see what the ultimate outcomes might be. And then you'll have a much better understanding of again, the competitive terrain. The Germans used to do this. They created a thing called the Kriegsspiel, or the war game, back in the late 1800s. And they would actually, set up situations where they were, assuming some type of conflict with an opponent. And they would, run the exercise either on a map or on the actual battlefield. And then when that situation actually happened in warfare, they were ready, mentally prepared to deal with it and to deal with any new situations that came up, because it pretty much run through and wargamed all the possibilities. Nothing much surprised them.
Well, Mark, I'd like to go this further. We go into a break, but I want to ask you a little bit more that goes deeper. Is what you call the Schwerpunkt. But we go on a break right now with Mark McNeely and Becky Sheets. We'll be right back. Thank y'all.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they move forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. I have Becky Sheets, author of Sun Tzu for Women, and also she has a new book out. And then Mark McNeely, who has Sun Tzu and the Art of Business for Six Strategic for Partners and Managers, but there's so much more. I mean, my goodness. And Mark, we just came back, and he was discussing how to do a psychoanalysis of a corporation, to look for the weaknesses and the strengths of the opposing company. So after that, the next step, he goes on to say, is selecting and concentrating your attack. And he calls it, I'm going to try to pronounce it, the Schwerpunkt. Schwerpunkt. Is that right, Mark?
Yes, it's a German term, Schwerpunkt. It's the point of attack, or we think of it as the center of gravity. It's where you want to concentrate the most resources to achieve the greatest impact. So, for example, in World War II, when Germany launched their Blitzkrieg into France, they actually hit a lot of their tank forces in the Ardennes forest, where the French didn't expect an attack, and the French were weakly defending that area, and that's where the Germans launched a massive tank invasion, and of course won the war in a couple weeks. And even though the French actually had more tanks and better tanks than the Germans were able to achieve victory because of the surprise they achieved, the speed by which they moved, their overall strategy, and the fact that they attacked weakness.
Well, and I also like a comparison about with Southwest Airlines. When they came in, they're just like they bullets in a bombard before they even took off from their first point of to departure. You had mentioned something that the speed, they promoted it, they did it like a media blitz even before beginning. I think that goes back to what you were talking about, finding deficiencies, both you and Becky saying find the weaknesses of the other airlines and then speed and efficiency and know where you go. I thought that was really interesting, because with along the airline industry, I mean, it's gotten to be so competitive.
Yes, Southwest is one of the few airlines that's profitable, and they do so many things right. I mean, they again look for weaknesses. They don't go into the major airports. They'll find an airport that's close to where people need to go to, but that's less expensive, and then they'll essentially own that airport, whether it's Love Field in Dallas instead of DFW. But they'll pick out those airports. They'll set up a big PR blitz to get people excited. They'll put in a ton of flights, and they lock up the gates. And through their low-cost model, which is an innovative by itself, their fast turnaround times with planes, using only one type of plane to cover the United States versus many airlines have obviously many different types of planes, right. And that creates inventory issues and interchangeable parts issues and interchangeable planes issues. They've got a whole business model where everything all fits together, and they just have brought a totally different approach to the airline industry.
Wow. And without getting too, like, really politically incorrect, I hate to have to even talk about, you know, like, what we can and we can't say with our First Amendment rights, but I would like to ask you, Becky and Mark, you know, with all these popping up of terrorist groups, you know, ISIS and Boko, whatever. I can't even remember. There's so many. But how do you think they base their model? Do you think their fighting model it has components of Sun Tzu.
I think, Mark, you've done some research into this, haven't you? You've done a little bit of digging.
Yeah, I think I haven't found any documented proof that Al-Qaeda or ISIS have read Sun Tzu's strategy or strategies. But that said, I mean, if you look at Al-Qaeda's attack on 9/11, it certainly applied many of Sun Tzu's principles. For example, they attacked the United States in a very weak spot, right? So rather than attack a hardened military target like a military fort, they used very few resources, just 19 people. I think the total cost of the operation was $400,000 to take over some civilian airlines and attack targets with no defenses, the Twin Towers, for example. And even the Pentagon really had no ability to defend itself by the air, from the air. ISIS has also used speed and mobility to defeat its opponents and grow very quickly, first in Syria and then now in Iraq. And they've been somewhat successful in gaining some allies. I think if you look especially at ISIS, they've been successful in working with the Sunni tribes against the Shia-dominated government and against the Kurds. But I think that the areas where both Al-Qaeda and ISIS have probably failed and has created issues for them is through their actions and also through their viewpoint on the world. They've created large coalitions of nations and groups that are trying to now thwart their aims.
And I think that goes back to Sun Tzu saying that we should know our enemy and their weaknesses. And when our president comes back and calls him as JV League, it didn't seem like he had a grasp on knowing exactly who the enemy was. They still haven't stated a name for the operation, and they tend to discredit who they are. So if, according to Sun Tzu, it's like they can't even pinpoint who their enemy really is, which makes absolutely troubling issues for war, right?
One of the things that Sun Tzu talks about is the need for intelligence operations and really understanding your opponent. Throughout U.S. history, there's been times when we've had big intelligence failures. Actually, even though we had the ultra secret and the ability to read German communications during World War II, we were surprised during the Battle of the Bulge. We were surprised at Pearl Harbor. We had some wrong intelligence on WMD in Iraq, and then now with in Syria, this lack of understanding or underestimation, I would say, of ISIS, I think, has allowed them to spread relatively quickly. I'm not sure. I think many in the intelligence community probably had a good understanding of who ISIS is and their capabilities, but nevertheless, either a lack of understanding or refusal to understand, with the threat of ISIS has kind of put us where we currently are.
And you still have to have that commander in chief, or that person that passes down the mission, the foresight. Or like I said, Sun Tzu said, "Don't get in it unless you're out for victory." And I see a haze. I don't see a definitive as what Sun Tzu would say, that looking for victory.
Yeah, well, you have to have a long-term overarching strategy, and it's got to start with what is it as a nation that you want to achieve. And, obviously, probably the most important thing from a stability standpoint of the United States, you want to prevent an attack on the homeland, and we've been pretty successful with that. Since 2001, there really haven't been any major attacks on the homeland. We did have some domestic terrorism with the Boston bombing. And then beyond that, what else do we need to achieve internationally, whether that's stopping safe havens from forming throughout the world, not just in the Middle East. How do you deal with the rise of China? Because there's issues between China and its neighbors in the Pacific over a lot of different islands, and China trying to extend its reach farther and farther out into the Pacific. And then, of course, now Russia with essentially, pushing eastward into Ukraine and trying to achieve their goals there. And they've been pretty successful using what I would say, following Sun Tzu's approach of the indirect approach by using the little green men, as they call it, the surrogate proxy forces that have gone into Ukraine to fight the Ukrainians. They've been successful in, you know, taking Crimea, and now pretty much have achieved a stalemate and have picked up a good bit of eastern Ukraine.
And it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, Becky and Mark, ISIS, they know the weakness, and they know the younger generation to use the internet, social media, to gather and form their own military. Where on our side, I don't see any practical applications being done to defeat that.
One thing to keep in mind when we consider all of these different forces that many of which Mark has laid out is let's remember to keep Sun Tzu in context. I think that there's a misnomer, and I've come across it many times, you know, just to put a point on it. I was talking to a very influential woman, author. She was a serial CEO, started up a number of companies, very successful, and I was talking to her about Sun Tzu for Women and that I was going to write this book, and what did she think? Uh-huh. And she said very politely and very professionally, and, you know, I have thick skin, my feelings didn't get hurt. She said, I think it's terrible. She said, the idea of war as a metaphor for business is terrible, and to try to promulgate that among women, even worse. So here's my counter to that. It's that Sun Tzu was not a warmonger. Sun Tzu was not about war for war's sake. Sun Tzu would not, I cannot believe, would be an advocate for many of the forces that we're seeing around us. You know, he believed that the commander, the general, the leader, would stand for virtues like wisdom. Expressly, he said, wisdom, sincerity, benevolence, courage, strictness. When you look at what some of these ISIS groups, the Al-Qaeda groups, are doing, do you see benevolence in that? Do you see courage in that? I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, who's looking out. You know, somebody somewhere sees that as courageous. Do you see wisdom in that, sincerity in that? Let's just keep this in perspective that whereas some of these folks can distort and they can use the art of war and they can call it their own. I don't know, as Mark has said, he's not, you know, seeing evidence of some of these terrorist groups. But even if they did, they're lacking the character traits that are absolutely essential to any organization that would say it uses Sun Tzu, whether it's a military or whether it's a business.
And I think both of y'all mentioned about, you know, we're talking about character, integrity, being ethical, and both you mentioned deception and the use of deception in.
Right.
We have like 3 minutes to break. If somebody wants to go ahead and start, that'd be wonderful. Wow. What do you think about women?
I can jump in on that really, really quickly within the few minutes that we have. You know, I don't ever advocate for anything that is deceitful or misleading or hurtful to the people who matter to you, to your customers, to your employees, and folks like that. I'm not a liar. It's not how I conduct myself. It's not how I do business. But if an adversary wants to believe something about you that isn't true, and you continue to encourage them to believe that misinformation, that's fantastic. War is about furthering misinformation, spreading misinformation. The example that I used that we talked about during break is of Marcia Serlin, who went into the Old Boys Club of Scrap Metal Recycling, which is a completely unexpected thing for a woman to do. It was all men, and she just got a rented truck, and she had a few bucks, and she's cobbled all this together, and she built that into a multi-million dollar industry of scrap metal recycling. But she did it. You know, these guys who she was coming up against, they just didn't take her seriously. They just said, well, you know, they believed that she was a joke, and she let them believe that, and she built this empire as they just, you know, didn't take her seriously.
So real quickly, Becky, I mean, you know how some women, they've been, you know, criticized for playing dumb, you know, like the dumb blonde or something like that. So that could be advantageous if you know how to ethically or do it right, correct?
Yeah, I think if the boss sees you as a dumb blonde, you've got a problem. But I think as people, you know, as people who you are perhaps stepping over on your way, disregard you or and obviously, you know, you don't want that to be your reputation. But my point is there's a time and a place where you can, and I actually, Condoleezza Rice is a great example that I use in Sun Tzu for women. I don't think anybody would consider her a dumb anything. But if you underestimate someone like that, and at this point she wasn't Condi yet, nobody knew who she was. But that's an example of letting them underestimate you, and then, boom, seizing that opportunity. So you consider it in a time and at a place.
Okay, well, great. We go on a break, and we'll be back with Mark McNeely and Becky Sheets. Thank y'all.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Like so many others, do you put on a game face to the world? The stress of home life, work life, and personal life converge on us on practically a daily basis. Yet, so rarely do we let others see our real selves. And we carry on like we don't have a single problem. We need to connect and to find out we're not alone. Tune into Stories from the Heart of Leadership with host Shamin Sadek to find out not only what's been created, but the story behind it. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Master your reality and manifest your desires effortlessly. Listen to The Trivedi Effect to find out how raising your level of consciousness can totally transform every aspect of your life. Hosted by Mahendra Kumar Trivedi. With Trivedi Master Alice Branton, our program will spotlight the nearly 4,000 documented scientific studies that have proven the transformational impact of this energy extends beyond humans to all living and even non-living matter. Tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel or Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
My great guests, Becky Sheets and Mark McNeely, we've been discussing all day Sun Tzu's Art of War and how it's applicable to business, even in your personal life. If you structure and you read, like they told, it's not like reading it as a guidebook, how to do it book, but it gives you principles. So before we close the show, I would like to ask each one of my guests, what is one thing that one of the principles are endearing to you that could help the audience and they get a good takeaway? Who wants to go first? Mark? Becky? Go, Becky.
Okay. All right. I was struck. You can, every time you read The Art of War, or every time you pick up a page, you can take a gem out and say, oh my goodness, this is what I need to focus on right now. This is what I need to apply today. When I did the most recent, when I wrote The Art of War for Small Business, what I came away with, what I got kind of banged upside the head with, so to speak, is the idea of unity and the idea that so many, and I primarily work with small businesses and mid-sized businesses. That's just where I've spent my career. And I see so much disunity and discord and different folks going in different directions that I've got to believe that's magnified in a large organization. But in a small organization, you must be unified to defeat a larger organization. Here's what Sun Tzu says. I want to just leave listeners with this quote.
And
think about it in terms of dividing the big guy. We can form a single united body, while the enemy must split up into fractions. Hence, there will be a whole pitted against separate parts of a whole, which means that we shall be many to the enemy's few. In other words, what he's saying is your smaller force can be larger if you're united and you divide your enemy. So unity for a small business, for a mid-sized business, for any business, that idea of being coalescing around a mission statement, around a cause, and really knowing what you're doing, why you're doing it, and being on the same sheet of proverbial music, it makes all the difference.
Wow, and it's so true. Because if, you know, a divided nation, nothing gets done. Mm-hmm. I love that. And Mark, what do you have?
There's so many to choose from, but I think I would pick the one where he speaks. He says, a general prizes opportune changes in circumstances. And then he goes on to talk about having won a victory, I do not repeat my tactics, but respond to circumstances in an infinite variety of ways. And too often things happen to us in our lives or happen to us in business, and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And all you see is the threats. But you can be successful in tough situations, and you can be unsuccessful in great business environments. And so what you really need to do is, when there are changes in circumstances, rather than only looking at the threats and the risks, think about what are the opportunities that come from this change, and how might I take advantage of them? And even whether that's in business, whether that's in the world today as we see a lot of the changes happening, whether that's in our personal lives, I think if we look at changes in circumstances and say, where's the opportunity here? And how can I adjust my strategy and tactics to take advantage of them? Then I think we'll be able to, reap a lot of the fruits that are potentially out there if we only take the time to see them.
Does that relate to, I think, is it 9 changes that Sun Tzu articulates? About?
Yeah, he talks. It's kind of interesting because he always talks about, the X number of these factors and the X number of those factors, and so it gets into various lists. It's a matter of how do you think about things, and once you've done something, how can I now change my tactics to respond to those circumstances, but in a different way, so that, as Becky mentioned, you're not just always doing the same thing over and over again. You're innovating, you're changing the game, even as your competitors are trying to keep up with you.
Now, Becky, can you explain the philosophy of, is it Tao that Sun Tzu relates to?
What was that? The philosophy of what now?
Is it T-A-O? Tao?
Oh, the Tao. Can I explain that in a couple minutes?
Yes. Just, we have time, girl.
Not as effectively as someone who probably lives the lifestyle of the way would be able to. It's an interpretation. It's a lifestyle. It's beyond the pages of a book. But I think if you read The Art of War, you'll come away with a sense of that time and the place. To apply it to martial arts, it would be this way. Mm-hmm. It would be the idea that you may win and you may lose, but regardless of what it is, you will do everything that you can that day. You will seize that moment. You will seize that opportunity. You will make the absolute most of it, and you will be fully prepared. So that's the obligation that I think we have as martial artists, as business practitioners, as career practitioners, as military folks who read The Art of War, is to have it at the ready, to be prepared to execute it, and to really continue to study it and to know, as I said, know how to apply it. It becomes a responsibility.
Is it any spirituality to it?
Well, yeah, sure. It's a spirituality. It's the heart of Taoism, the Taoism religion. That's not a religion that I share. I'm a Christian. But I'll tell you that I don't think it matters what your religious background is, really. I mean, you color what you do through your religious beliefs, but even coming down to the idea of deception, as I mentioned earlier, that is not controversial to me at all in how I wage business war. Because I'm honest with the people I work with, the people I deal with, the people who trust in me. But you can still apply these strategies of allowing your adversary to misunderstand you, to underestimate you. You
right.
can still apply that and still feel good about what you've done at the end of the day.
Well, Becky, Mark, before we close, we have 1 minute. I'd love for y'all to share how they can get in touch with you, your books, and all your pertinent information. So, Mark, you're up.
Yeah, you can find us on sunzustrategies.com, and there you've got information to contact us. You can learn about our books. You can read about the principles that we've developed. Becky, what else can they come away with there?
Yeah, you can bring us into your organization or your business or your trade association or your military or academic organization as a keynote speaker or as a workshop. Mark and I love to host keynotes about how to apply Sun Tzu strategies, again, to all the audiences we've talked about. Big businesses, Mark has done internationally and in many, many venues. Small businesses, as I've done, women's organizations, as I have done, or even large organizations that have a women's business, forum or group. So training and workshops are where we are extremely passionate as well.
Oh, y'all been such fabulous. I'm sure my audience, I hope they run and get your books because it has so much insight in it. I can't think of the word in, not yin and yang. But anyway, I loved y'all being the guest, and thank you so much. And please, don't hesitate. Go get their books. It's fabulous. So I thank y'all so much. I have Mark McNeely and Becky Sheets. Thank y'all for being my guests. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank y'all. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.